The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
And I gave up so many things. I became a Christian. You know, finally, I'm third generation. There's three generations of pastors in my family, but I found out God doesn't have grandkids. He only has kids. I had to accept Christ myself. I couldn't ride on my uncle's coattails, my grandpa's coattails, or my mom's coattails. I had to accept Jesus for me. I had to accept him. And when I finally did that, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't always a Christian. Went to church every Sunday. Sat in the pews. I was a bus captain. And there were times I showed up on Sunday mornings to be a bus captain with a hangover because I'd been out the night before doing things I shouldn't be doing. I'm not proud of that. It's embarrassing. So when I became a Christian, I gave up a lot of stuff. I gave up waking up with a head that felt like somebody was hitting it with a hammer. Wow, how did I give that up? Oh, man. I gave up, you know, getting in fights because we were drunk. Gave up puking on dates and having dates puke on me. Oh! Tell you, boys, you're never quite as sexy to a woman as when you're blowing groceries. Because every guy knows. A girl looks at him, calling up Ralph and Buick. Ralph! Buick! And a girl's all say, oh, I got to have him. I needs myself that man. Guess I really didn't give up much of anything, did I? But the world makes it look so good. Oh, and the world makes it look so fun. You see these Bud Light commercials and stuff, and they're all partying, and they're all having a blast. The next thing they ought to show should be the drunk driver that takes out an entire family of people on the way home from that party. Or the guy that beats his wife because he was drunk at that party. Let me tell you something. I deal with the reality of life all the time. What they show you on the commercials is not reality. Come on. You got to make a choice. So our verse says that there's a broad road and a narrow road, and that only a few find the narrow road. Why? Why do only a few find it? Well, let's talk about that. I think it's a good question. How come that only a few find it? It's not because there's a lack of opportunity, not here in the United States, where there's churches on every corner just about. Here's a church. We're meeting in a school because we don't have our own building. So there's all kinds of places. So why do only a few find it? Well, I got some ideas. Let's put the blame on us, because some sheep are too stingy to give directions. Or some sheep just don't care to tell others. I have actually been part of churches, and I try not to stay part of them for very long. I either change the church or I change my location. In fact, the old joke used to be, R4 and no more, R2 and pooey to you. I pastored a church one time where we wanted to reach out to a certain group of people in the community. And one of my board members, one of my deacons, one of the guys who's entrusted with the spiritual care of the church said, well, you know what? They've made their own choices. Let them lie in it. And I looked at him and I said, Well, there's a lot of grace in that statement, isn't there? Let me tell you something. You can look at the people in Adams Park that are living lives they shouldn't be. You can. I thought about this today. I was coming from Walmart to buy donuts for church this morning, and I saw one of the guys that stands out there at Dannenberg, and or not Dannenberg, but whatever that road is, and Highway 86, and he's standing there with a little sign. And I'm not going to give this guy money because I'm not going to fuel that lifestyle. I've given him food. I've stopped and bought him hamburgers. But I always tell him, you know what, dude, if you are tired of living this way, I can get you in a place right now. Give me 15 minutes, I'll get you a home. I'll get you a place where you can get your life turned around. And invariably they tell me no thanks. But you got to give them that choice. How many of us took the time this week? And remember what I talked about choices? How many of you, let's not hide in this us part, okay? I want you to ask yourself, did I this week tell anybody how to get to Jesus? Did I take time out of my schedule? Did I stop what I was doing, what I thought was important, and talk to somebody that I knew needed Jesus? Wow. Not many smiles right now. See, because the truth of the matter is, we get so caught up in our own lives, we stop. We don't even think about stopping and telling Jesus to somebody. We don't even stop to think about the fact that we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility before God to share Jesus Christ with somebody. How many people did you pass this week that were hurting? How many people did you pass this week that were lost, that are dying, that are just wasting away? How many people did you pass this week that needed to know just a glimpse of what you know? Even if it's to do nothing more than just invite them to church, I'm not talking about preaching a message to them. I'm not talking about taking out your big family Bible and then, you know, doing the whole, you know, evangelist thing to them. Well, you got to know Jesus. Oh. I'm talking about saying, you know what, man? I've been going to church and some great stuff's happening to me. And I would love to talk to you about it. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. If there's anything I can do, just come talk to me. And man, or you know what? I'm going to church Sunday. Why don't you come with me? You've got to come see this guy that's our pastor. He's nuts. How hard is that? But we think, that's Jeremiah and Jerry's job. That's not my job. You know what? Who makes sheep? Shepherds or sheep? Sheep make sheep. Shepherds raise them. Now, here's the thing about Jeremiah and I. We're co-pastors of this church. We're both shepherds. We're also sheep. It's kind of weird. You have that two little dichotomy thing there. Let me tell you something. If people are going to be one to Christ, it's going to be because sheep raise sheep. Sheep make sheep. We raise them. Here's the commitment Jeremiah and I make to you every Sunday, and that is that when we come behind this, I'm so used to being in a church saying podium. There's no podium here. There's a little stand thing. But when we stand up here and we minister what God has given us, here's what we promise. We promise that we spent time in prayer, that we have spent time hearing what God once said, and then when it's time to say it, we're going to say it, not holding anything back. We're going to give you the message God gives us. I promise that. I know Jeremiah promises it. That's why we do this. We're not doing it for the money because neither one of us get paid. We're doing it because this is what God has called us to do. When you bring your friends here, they're going to hear the Word of God. They're going to hear what God wants them to hear that day. Not what we think they want to hear, what God wants them to hear. That's my promise. It's your job to get them here. Second reason is that some people are ignorant of the way to the gate. I love the story of Billy Graham. He was doing one of his first crusades early in his ministry, and he's in this town. He doesn't know the town. And he's trying to mail a letter, and he couldn't find the post office. He goes and he stops his little kid and says, "Hey, little kid, do you know where the post office is?" Kid gives him directions to the post office, and Billy Graham says, "Hey, I'll tell you what, come to the Coliseum tonight. I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The kid looks at him and says, "Mister, you can't even find your way to the post office." Some people don't know how to get to heaven. Doesn't mean they're stupid. Doesn't mean they're unlearned. It just means that nobody's ever, maybe they've never heard it. You know, I was shocked years ago. I was teaching at summer school at Faith Academy, and I asked the kids that, I had little kids, big kids, and I said, "I tell you what, I want you," because I was just trying to kill time, to be honest with you. This is what you do at Christian school. You ask them to draw a picture, but it's got to be like biblical, because it's Christian school. Anyway, so I said, "I want you to draw a picture of your favorite Bible story." And this little girl that was there for the summer program walked up to me. She's probably 7, 8 years old. And she said, "Mr. Godsey, I don't know any Bible stories." And my heart just sank. Here's a kid 7 or 8 years old that didn't know any Bible stories. Had no exposure to the Bible other than what she was getting that summer from me. And I got tears in my eyes, and I thought, what a huge responsibility God's given me, this little kid. What a huge responsibility God has laid in my lap. Let me tell you something. We live in a society now where people may not have any church background, and it may be for a couple of generations at this point. They don't have any idea about God. They don't have any idea about the Bible other than to think that they know, that they're pretty sure it's boring. That's all they know. It's up to us to go to the people that we run into every day. It's up to us to go to the people in Imperial County that are ignorant of the way to God. They don't know to pray. They don't know to ask God. I on my Facebook page, I posted a thing saying, you know, whether you know me well or know me, just post a remembrance, something you remember about me. And one of the coolest ones I got was from a person who used to work with me who said, "When I would ask you questions, you never made me feel stupid because I didn't know things." And man, and I've been asked some basic questions before. And you know what? That's great. Because you know the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. They don't know the way. And then there's one more group, and those are people who refuse to look for it or refuse the directions given. Let's be honest. There are some people who even get mad if you talk to them about God. They get downright angry. That is not the time, by the way, to continue to hammer them with your 25-pound family Bible. That is not the time to inform them at the top of your lungs in your best, prayer voice, "Well, I'll be praying that God won't let you go to hell then." No, that's when you draw away and you keep going to them in love. You keep going to them and you be available for them. You let your light shine in front of them and you let the Holy Spirit draw them. And you probably will never say another word to them about it until one day it clicks. One day they've seen enough of your life. They've reached a pinch point in their life. They've reached the fork in the road. And now it's time. See, you can't make something be born. Roxy, one of my Boston Terriers, is great with puppy. She's kind of getting wider, starting to look a little more like me. And I can't make those puppies be born. I can't go stand in front of her at one and say, "Roxy, you know you need to get rid of those puppies. Now's the time. Now's the time, Roxy. I'm impatient with you, Roxy. You gotta..." No, she's going to look at me like, "Stupid, just give me a dog bone. Just give me a treat and we'll get on with this." I can't make those puppies be born, neither can she. But when it's time, it's going to happen. And then, it's just a question of being available to her. You can't make people come to Christ. You can't make it be somebody's time, but you can be available to them when it is their time. But that comes from tilling the soil. That comes from all the things that you've done to harvest it. That comes from all the things you've done. You've watered the soil. You've weeded the patch. You've done all of these things, and you'll do that for years sometimes. Sometimes you'll never even know the person face to face. I led a guy to Christ and never knew what he looked like until I showed up to baptize him. He was in Austin, Texas. And we were on the, I had a classic Mercury Cougar, and we traded a couple of parts back and forth. And he started reading my columns, and he started doing this, and we started talking back and forth. And I tell you, it come to know Christ in kind of a weird way. He's the first guy that ever became a Christian because the statements that he was kind of Buddhist and kind of Eastern religion, kind of messing around with those things. And so when he finally came to Christ was, he said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus said, I'm God. He says, Buddha never said that. And all these other people never said that. And if somebody as enlightened as them never said it, then Jesus must really be who he thought he was. Jesus must really be who he said he was. I remember reading his email where he tells me he accepted Christ in a local church in Texas. And I went, okay. It's kind of a roundabout way, but he got there. And about a year later, he's coming out. He's a photographer. He's coming out to Orange County for a car show. And he says, I need to get baptized, and you're the guy to do it. Honest goodness, when I walked up to him, I barely knew what he looked like. I had seen his picture somewhere. Walked up in the hotel lobby. We started laughing. We hugged and prayed together. And I took him to the, we took him to the hot tub there at the pool, and I baptized him in the hot tub. And I said, dude, if this isn't a Southern California way to get baptized, I don't know what is. The only thing that was missing was a bunch of hippies singing. Hey, you want to tell me that God can't make you available to people? God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Now, let's talk about some wrong ways of thinking. What I call this is wide gate, broad road thinking. Wide gate, broad road thinking. These are things I've heard over the years, and you've probably heard some of them. You've probably heard most of them. The first one is this. It's that all roads lead to God. I hear this one all the time. Well, it doesn't matter if you're Buddhist or Mormon or if you got like your own way of thinking, because all roads lead to God. Really? And where'd you get that? Well, you know, I just kind of figured it all out, man. Okay, the problem with that statement is it makes Jesus a liar. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. Isn't that what Jesus said? So here we go, making Jesus a liar again. All roads lead to God. No, they don't. No, they really don't. You ever heard the phrase, you can't get there from here? If you live in Imperial Valley, you hear that a lot. Well, you can't get there from here. It's impossible to fly anywhere directly from Imperial Airport. You're always going to go to L.A. or San Diego or Phoenix, or, I mean, Yuma or... We figured out one time I had to go to L.A. I was trying to figure out it would be faster for me to fly or drive. It was faster for me to drive. By the time I got to the airport, did all the stuff, and then it was faster to drive. You can't get there from here. Not all roads lead there. Let me tell you something. Not all roads lead to God. Some of them, in fact, all of them but one, lead to hell. Does that make me narrow-minded? Maybe. It just makes me say what God said. All roads don't lead to God, guys. And if you believe that, well, you got a problem. See, a lot of people think that they can climb the ladder of religion, whether it's Mormonism or Buddhism or this-ism or that-ism. Problem is, they get to the top of the ladder and they realize their ladder's on the wrong building. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. I like this one. As long as I'm sincere, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what I believe, as long as I sincerely believe it. Okay. I sincerely believe that the laws of gravity do not apply to me. I really, really believe that. In fact, I believe it so much, I'm going to go to the top of a 10-story building. I'm going to have to leave the county to do it. I'm going to go to the top of a 10-story building, and I am going to chuck my big body off the side of it. Because the laws of gravity do not apply to me. I believe it with all my heart. When they come scrape me up off the ground, if I have not died in the process, I will realize I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. There are a lot of people that are sincere, but sincerely wrong. And you can be sincerely wrong. We find it all the time. My wife and I have, they're not arguments. They're disagreements of an intense nature that often lead to her hitting me with things. No, I'm just kidding. Made that part up. And she tells me, we had a discussion the other day. We weren't arguing, we were just laughing about something. And she said, well, you never think you're wrong. I said, well, you know, here's the thing. When we start to talk about something, if I thought I was wrong, I wouldn't believe it. Duh. I mean, doesn't that make sense? If you really thought it was wrong, would you subscribe to it? Well, you know, I know that the sky's blue, but I think it's green. No. So obviously when we argue about something, I'm expecting her to prove me wrong. If you prove me wrong, I'll buy it. If you prove me wrong, I'll believe it. But you're going to have to prove it. And that's the way we are. Look, you can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. And then when somebody proves you wrong, then if you don't admit you're wrong, gentlemen, because let's be honest, there are times we'll keep arguing just because we don't want to look stupid. And it's funny, because we'll be the only one in the room that is still believing we're right. The dog even knows. The dog's looking up and be like, dude, just give it up. My dogs have said that. Come on, man. It's loud and we're tired. Come on, just shut up. But we'll still keep pushing it because we don't want to look wrong. Oh, I'm the man. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Sincerity and being spiritual or religious just doesn't cut it. There are lots of people sincere about what they believe. They just believe the wrong thing. I like this one. Well, God and I have an understanding. Really? When did God become Monty Hall? Now, the older people all laughed. Oh, Monty Hall, yeah. The younger people all went, who? Monty Hall was the guy from Let's Make a Deal. Had the TV show, and you could choose between door number one, door number two, door number three. And door number three was always like a burrow with a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni or something. You know, door number one was a car. And door number two was a fabulous vacation. I saw this once on The Dating Game, a long time ago. You want a fabulous vacation to Mexicali, Mexico! And I went, ha ha ha! And it wasn't a gag gift. It was really supposed to be a good gift. They're going to get down like, dude, we got hosed. Oh. God and I have an understanding. God says it's okay for me to do whatever I want because, you know, he loves me. God does love you, and God loves you too much to let you sin. You and God don't have an understanding. You have something you think is an understanding, and God's saying, you know, you really need to get this together. God doesn't bargain. You ever bargain with God? Oh, God, if you just let me get an A on this test, God, I'll be in church every Sunday. When I was in college, I went to a Christian college, and they asked this kid one time to pray, you know, so-and-so, would you pray over this test? And this is what he prayed. He stood up, he said, Lord, bless those who studied, curse those who haven't, amen. And I was really angry because I was in the wrong group. God is not, you know, the price line negotiator out of heaven. He says, here's the way it is. Like it or lump it. Take it or leave it. That's it. And the sooner we understand that, the better. I love this one. Well, God wouldn't really send anyone to hell. This isn't broad gate, narrow gate. This is no gate. If there really isn't a hell, if God's willing to send anybody there, why would you need to make a choice? The Bible does say there's a hell. And we talked about it a little bit ago. It's a place of eternal torment where people cry out for death and it won't come. Jesus told a parable about the rich man who goes to heaven. And he says, man, just send this poor guy to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue because I'm in torment. And Jesus said, you know what, man, there's a big gate between, there's a big broad distance between you two and you can't get through it. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose to go there. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we love that verse. We love that eternal life part. But you got to keep reading the next verse. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's great. We love that. Jesus came because God loved us. Jesus came so that we could have eternal life. Jesus came so we could have a great life. In fact, he said, I've come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Not just life, not just scraping through, but a good life. A great life, a life that's fulfilling. And we stop reading here. Because this is good for us. We like this. Problem is, there's another verse. It doesn't stop there. Look at the next verse says. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's good news. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the gate. This is narrow road. Broad road. This is where it all comes down to it. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that we could live together with him forever in heaven. That our sins could be forgiven, that our lives would be made perfect. That good things could happen to us. But if we choose to ignore him, we are condemned. I said at the very beginning, you're going to make a choice today one way or another. Because here's the thing, you can't walk out of here today without making a choice. You're either going to choose to follow Christ today or you're going to walk out of here choosing to not follow him. You're either going to walk out of here today with your sins forgiven and on the way through that skinny gate and on your way to heaven, or you're going to walk out through the broad road having rejected Christ and on your way to hell. Wow. Don't you wish you'd stay home and watch football now? Here's the thing. I said, you're not here by accident today. God loves you so much that you're here today to hear this. And this is two messages in a row for me where I've gotten really passionate and kind of pushed this. And I, you know what? And I said it last time I preached, and I will say it again. Look, you didn't have to come here today. There are plenty of places where you can go and hear some little soft message and nobody's going to talk to you about hell and nobody's going to challenge you to live more or anything. You know what? You can go all kinds of places. This isn't one of them. I said earlier, the promise that we make to you is that when you come here, you're going to hear what God wants you to hear, and this is what God has today. I left my house knowing this message was going to be one of the hardest ones we've preached here. Hard as far as just laying it down and saying, look, choose you this day. Blessings or cursings, choose you this day. This is not Monty Hall, let's make a deal. This is God saying, here's what I expect, this is what it's going to be. Proverbs 14:21 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I'm not going to apologize for challenging you this morning. That's why you pay me the big bucks. It's why I'm standing here this morning. On Friday, I was kind of finishing up, looking, and I remember saying, God, there's no way to preach this without it sounding harsh. God, there's no way to preach this without sounding like an ultimatum. There's no way to preach this without it sounding like it's the way it goes. Take it or leave it. And in my heart of hearts, I settled on the fact that it's the way it is. Take it or leave it. You're going to choose today. I implore you to choose wisely. I beg you with all that's within me to choose wisely. The thought that somebody could leave, somebody that I know, could leave this message and spend eternity in hell keeps me awake. I woke up, I don't know how many times last night, begging God to put the right people here today. Begging God, God, please, let the people who need to hear it be there tomorrow. And you're here. Now what are you going to do? Maybe you're listening to this online. You're here. What are you going to do? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Okay. Broad gate, skinny gate time. Blessings, cursings time. Put up or shut up time, however you want to call it. God so wants you to be His. In fact, He wants you to be His so much, He arranged for you to be here today to listen to me. He wants you so much to be His that He sent His only Son to die for you, to give a way for this to happen. He wants you to be His so much that He's giving you these opportunities, but eventually you're going to run out of opportunities. Right now, before the band starts playing, I want you to make a choice. And again, saying I'll do it later is the choice, it's just the wrong choice. I want you to make the choice that says, I'm going to follow Christ, and if you don't, then you're just basically saying, I'm rejecting Him and I'm condemned. That's okay. That's you. That's up to you. If you want to follow Christ, if you want to say, Jesus, or Jerry, you know what, now's the time, man. I'm tired of playing. I want to get this right. Then here's all you have to do. And it's so simple. Just say, Jesus, I accept you. I want to go through the skinny gate. I want to go through the narrow gate. I want to be your child. However you want to say it. But you got to make that verbal accept. You got to say that I'm going to follow you. And then as you go through life, now you're going to find you're on a different path and things are going to change. But that's okay because it's good change. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to pray one more prayer. And as we pray it, I want you to use your own words. And you say, God, this is it. I'm tired of trying to go my own way. I want to go your way. Just pray with me. God, thank you so much for putting us here today. God, thank you for just opening our hearts to you. God, we want to follow you. I pray, Lord, for those that are here this morning that are making a decision to follow you, and they're tired of the other way, and they're tired of the pain and the hurt that comes with it and the uncertainty. Lord, give them that knowledge that if they follow you, they're on their way to heaven. That's great stuff. And God, for those who are today would walk out and they say, well, I'm not going to choose right now, or I'm not ready for this. God, that you would send your Holy Spirit like the hound of heaven to dog them, Father God, to bring them to you because you're not willing that they perish. You don't want them to die without you. Oh God, touch our hearts right now, Father. Make us aware of you. Father, let us turn our lives to you, lock, stock, and barrel, because that's the only way to do this. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you've asked him this morning that you want to follow him, you told him that you've made that decision, I want you just to tell him thanks right now. As we sing this last chorus, just tell him thanks. And if you need to talk, talk to me, talk to Jeremiah, and just let's find out what God's doing in our lives. Thank you, Jesus.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.